First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, October 30th, which is the day before Halloween. This is our 300th show, so nearly 6 years doing this. Happy to do it. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Freshly vaccinated and ready to go.
Very good.
All right.
How you back? Oh, vaccinated. I thought it said vacuumed. I thought, how do you vacuum?
Sure. Sure. I got a robot that does that for me, but yes, okay. I can do that too.
Yeah. Our guests today are Boudreaux from Kentucky. Hello, Boudreaux.
Hey, guys.
We have John Richards from across the pond in England. Welcome.
Hello.
Dread Pirate Higgs.
Welcome. How the from, devil are you?
From
How
Western the devil are you? Canada. Welcome. Welcome. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about it, religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, I'm betting money that you're just not. In Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, soon to be 1,100. The Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
We're going over hate mail! Hate mail! So, you know, I don't want to start off on the wrong foot, but there's a lot of angry listeners, and we're going to listen to them today's show, because if we don't, we're just going to get more and more emails for them.
We need to find a way to get them a phone line to us or something while we're broadcasting.
We don't want that.
That's
right.
Yeah, it's not going to be my phone line, I can tell you that. But before we get into the true meat and potatoes of the show, how about a little bit of pasta? Led to us by our own Dread Pirate Higgs. Would you mind leading us in our weekly invocation?
I shall. Quod be me captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt waters. He steereth me through glassy seas. He filleth me bowl. He steereth me through the straits of newliness, for goodness sake. I, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder, they comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me in the presence of me mates. Thou quenchest my thirst with grog. My goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall abide with me all the days of me life, and I shall dwell in the galley of the Quab forever.
Amen.
Guys, catching up with everybody before we get into the weird deets. Eric Green, good to see you. How you been? How's the family been?
Good. Everything's good. We had our first annual Hallowgreen.
Nice. What happens there and what goes on there?
It's a bunch of middle schoolers and a bunch of high schoolers and running around the house and outside and eating candy and bombing for apples and. Yeah, it was a wild time. But
Eric, let me tell you something. Don't doubt the impact that you have on the number of kids that look up to you and that you touch on a regular basis. Like just the soccer practice that you're doing, the fact that kids run in and out of your house for like playing video games, the daughter sleepover stuff, I'm sure community service that you're employing. It's all really great. You're the dad of the community. What else can I say? And friendly neighborhood atheist goes a long way.
That's true.
Yeah. Now we just got to get you into disc golf too. I think that'd be right. That's the last missing step. Dread Pirate Higgs, the quest for chaos and quabs. What's going on with you, my friend?
Well, still fighting a good fight, as you know. But more recently, I've been stripping the outside of our float, which is called the SS Quab, preparing it for winter. And we usually have, this will be the first time. And, you know, since the pandemic that we have a Christmas parade in our community. Yeah. So I want to make sure that the SS Quab is ready to go and that we can festoon it appropriately and have her running down the streets singing chanties and sharing the good news of our newly lord.
Now you got to explain this to me. It's a boat or is it a car that
it's a pirate, it's a pirate ship. Yeah.
It's a pirate ship. I know you say that and you're nodding because you've seen it and it's used to you. You've become desensitized to the concept, but for those on the radio and for those who like don't understand the magnitude of what you're saying, would you mind describing this float?
Well, it's essentially, we just built a frame of a pirate ship, like a galleon. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of masts and we put up our flags as sails.
How jolly.
And we've got lights and all that kind of stuff. And we tow it around behind a truck and we sing shanties and songs like Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Nice.
That's
okay.
A favorite. And
sure, we got the smell out of John Richards.
We toss out those the gold coins, the doubloons, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With
the candy chocolate inside. Ones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're a big hit in this community. Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome. I can imagine. So quick one for me before we get into some heavy hitters. I just got double vaccined a couple of minutes ago. And I think I voted last week. So if you're listening to this, whether you're in Kentucky or Tennessee area, you can do early voting. You can vote now still. Please do so. And the more who do it, the better. And if you can get vaccinated too, also important. Let's kick some diseases' butts. And it's never fun being sick. Now, Sean Richards.
Well, yeah.
What am I, chopped liver?
You know you're the last guy. Come on, Sean Richards, where are we going?
Hello. I accept. What's the word? I stand back instead of oh, what's happening? I've got something happening here. Sorry,
very British. It's okay.
Yeah. I bow to Larry. Let him go first.
Okay, Larry.
Age before beauty. You know.
Sure.
What about age and beauty? Now, I went to a Halloween costume party last night, first in a long time. Went as well. Where's Waldo?
Okay.
But it was classic. Outside. Yeah, it was outside, so it was cold. I didn't get to, we didn't stay that long just because of that. And it's, listen, I hate it when you got to wear a coat over your costume, you know?
Sure. Kind of defeats the purpose. You can't be Waldo with a coat on because then it's right. Just like, who are you? Just a guy with a weird hat? It's like, mm-hmm. I totally get it. Did you have the glasses, though?
I did. The costume came with big horn-rimmed glasses.
Nice. When I was a Christian, Waldo books would terrify me because I was under the impression that there was always a God who could see me and it gave me a very big sense of paranoia. So if I was looking for Waldo and I couldn't find him, that made me feel like he could have been anywhere, off the book, under my bed, in a drawer. I'm like, I tried to find him and I couldn't. And I believe in these supernatural things that can happen. I have no basis for reality. So they're really scary books for me growing up. John Richards, your turn. What's up?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, we don't really do Halloween to the same extent over here because we recognize that it's really just a commercial opportunity for the US confectioners. So we have our own celebration. Thanks, Dredd. We have our own celebration over here, which is at about the same time of year, which is the November the 5th Bonfire Guy Fawkes event.
Ah.
The town nearest me, Littlehampton, does the second largest bonfire night celebration on the mainland of the UK.
I love those.
And the bonfire.
Is there still costumes?
People do costume, yeah. But it's more of watching a parade of traction engines and girl beaters of, I don't know what it is.
It's girl beaters?
Well, what do you call them? They're the twiddlers of
batons?
Cheerleaders?
Jugglers?
That's the ones. Yeah, that's the ones, yeah. And bands, marching bands. And the whole event ends on the green sward before the beach. And there's this huge bonfire that's set light to, and then a firework display. And of course, the fairgrounds have all gathered around, mobile fairs. So it's a fantastic event, but I didn't go because I'd only just returned from This year, that is, I didn't go. I have in the past. I'd only just returned from France, where I spent 5 days with three children, female children. And I want to tell you that at the passport control, I got some very funny looks.
For the American listeners, France is Pentos and UK is Westeros. Now we're all caught up.
Nice.
Don Richards. Please continue. You're totally fine. Just have to help with some.
I'm loving the Eric Idle reference to, you know, always look on the best side of light, the right side of light. And and of course, because I was away on holiday, I haven't done quite so much scheming as I normally do.
Okay.
And this means that you'll be welcome to join me, you guys, to take part in the Global Atheist News review later on today.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I'll be there.
But I got out the Global Atheist News. That went out no problem. I did that yesterday. But the other thing I wanted to say is, when this show ends, I'm going to get another jab. This will be my fourth.
Oh yeah. Well, nice. Good. Very good. I got some today.
Yeah. I'm on my sixth one now.
You,
I believe
you can get yours on a Sunday. That's kind of surprising. But everything's closed.
Oh, no, we got things called CVS here. They're just like local pharmacies owned by a major branch, and you can just walk in, get them for free, walk out. They give you a coupon to get more stuff, too. It's great. Capitalism.
I guess God is still shutting everything down here in Canada on Sundays.
Yeah, we don't really do Sunday much anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, if we can get less people to sit on a pew and spread the COVID next to each other, and more of them lining up to get the vaccines, I think we'd see a reason for there not to be as many prayers.
Right. Welcome, Swedish Steve. He just joined us. Wanted to welcome him.
Hey, how to do?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, my friend.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
To hear you,
My connection doesn't allow videos.
You're fine.
It makes for good radio.
How's life as a new dad? Are you kind of settling into it?
Yeah, for sure. It's great.
You know, you're legally allowed. You have to say that. Just make that a point. You can't back out. It's not like having a cat. You can just be like, nah, I turn the cat back in.
We have good social health care here, so I can ship him off if I need to.
Well, when I went to France, I told the guys at the passport control on the way out that I was kidnapping these children, you see.
That was a good idea.
One of them doesn't even have my surname, so that provided a little bit of a problem. But then on the way back, I told the guys at the passport control that I had kidnapped them, but I'd changed my mind and I was taking them back for a refund.
Just too much trouble.
Yeah. Guys, before we stimulate any more hate mail, how about we go into it real quick? We can at least handle the first one.
Sure.
Sounds good. So Victor, Dread Pirate, Eric Green, John Richards, we got an email. It's letschatsc@gmail.com. You're free to send in more email if you want. A lot of the mail we get is positive. A lot of the mail we get is complaining on SE videos I've done in the past. A lot of the mail that we get is just straight up anger and rage and wants attention. So some of these will be anonymous, but the first one comes from Rita Zaz, who has an umbrage with Larry Rhodes, also known as Doubter 5. Mm-hmm. Larry's justification for deism is just as problematic as simulation theory. In this week's episode, I heard him bring up both. And I'm just trying to say that the theories do the exact same thing by taking physical things we already understand and know of and simply inflating their loose concept of being into the cause of reality and its nature without any evidence. I don't see how one has any more substance than the other. They both just serve the same function of being an explanation of the universe with no strings attached. Why is this so common in atheist circles? Larry, what are you doing?
First of all, I think he misunderstood what I was saying. I don't believe in deism. I don't believe in that there's a programmer out there. But what I'm saying is we can't disprove them. And the best thing about them, if you're a deist or a simulationist, is that they don't have any dogma. They don't have a God telling you what to tell people to do, to pass laws to support what they want. there is no way to know what a deist god has in plans for it. Matter of fact, the deist god could already be dead.
Yeah.
It just requires that that there was a god of some sort that created the universe and kicked it off. He could have gone away. He could have died. He could have just got disinterested in the whole experiment and left. Who cares? Yeah. Anyway, I don't believe either one of them.
That was espoused by Spinoza, if I remember correctly.
Spinoza's God. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was just saying that it beats out religion, per se, if you believe in either one of those two. I don't personally.
Why not? Because it sounded like you were always for deism every single time we brought up. No, you're like, I'm Larry Rhodes, and I love deism. It's my next favorite thing next to souls.
No.
You bring it up in every show. I would not.
And you wrote a whole book on deism, didn't you?
And now he's flipping the turtles. Now he's flip-flopping. We don't like flip-floppers on this show. Just say it.
Waffler.
Yes, flip-flop. Hey, Eric Green, what's your opinion, deism, simulation theory? Are they the same thing at the end of the day?
Well, I guess one's kind of rooted in magic and the other's rooted in, you know, science.
Cyber science. Yeah.
It's hard to, obviously it's hard to disprove such things, but it's, you know, hard to disprove any imaginary thing you can come up with. So that doesn't really help anyone. Right. So I think, you know, the best thing to do is just look for evidence. Is there any evidence for, you know, glitches right. in the matrix, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Simulation theory, I think the reason it makes me think it's possible is that the likelihood of it. It's just, you know, seems like something we will eventually create. So,
interesting. We got Dredd. Do you have a weigh-in on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Sean B. Carroll. He's a physicist and a philosopher. He's actually got a posting over at Johns Hopkins University as a natural philosopher. So he does philosophy and physics, and he was talking about this. And it's the same thing about the transpermia, where the idea is that life started on Earth from. Hitched a ride on a comet or came from Mars. It doesn't answer a question. It has no explanatory power because it just pushes the answer away, you know.
It kicks the can down.
If we're a simulation, could it be that the simulators are a simulation of other simulators? You know, it has no explanatory power.
And where does it stop? It's just simulators all the way down.
Yeah, where did they come from?
Simulators all the way down. Exactly.
Yeah, like, who made the robots? Well, the simulation made the robots. The super simulation made those robots. John Richards left the
infinite regress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the way down.
I think those simulators are actually turtles. Okay. Anyway, the reason that deism comes into this is because it's the least obnoxious of all the various options that could explain the origins. And it's a bit like saying Mother Nature done it rather than God done it. Yeah. And Mother Nature, as Larry says, she has no doctrine to spread. She doesn't want us to. She's not sticking her nose into our genitalia, you know, like most religious people do. And so therefore, I find if I had to choose, that would probably be what I'd plump for. But as Fred says, it doesn't explain anything.
Victor, love to get your thoughts on this. Deism, which is a belief of God, you know, died and just has no evidence for him of being around, or simulation theory, which feels more appealing to you?
None of it. Or wait, can I hack the simulation later on the next level or something?
I think there's definitely some people who probably have already, and we already know their names fairly well. Kanye West being one of the leaders, right?
Yeah. That's a given. But how do you level in the simulation?
Right.
Like, where does the experience came from?
Right. Exactly. And like, why is push-up such a hard grind to increase your level?
Yeah.
I'll throw this out. I feel like deism and simulation theory are very distinct in terms of they are both problematic, but they're problematic for two very different reasons. One, obviously with deism, you're opening up the door to the supernatural as a way to answer problems. And I don't see a difference between deism and magic, you know, or supernatural beings and pixie fairy dust or werewolves. Like, you're just sprinkling a dust on top of a complex problem, expecting the solution to be more simple, but you're just adding more complexity. And everyone knows it's hard to get glitter off of stuff. You're just making a bigger mess. That's it. Yeah. Whereas with simulation theory, it's a really interesting problem, because if we live in a simulation, then everything that we're looking at is simulated, which means we don't have a frame of reference of knowing what's simulation from what's not a simulation. And so when we come into the argument of like, this is all simulation, it's the same problem as someone saying, everything's a creation by God. By the way, I have no frame of reference of knowing what something that's not a creation looks like, or what something that's not a simulation looks like. When all your evidence around you is fake, you have a case built up off of fake evidence. Even if it was the case that you don't, if we are in a simulation, we have no basis to make an argument that that's the case, right, simply because we have no frame of reference to compare anything else against. It's one of those really, really simple ones that if you just understood that, you can immediately dismiss simulation theory and move on to hopefully a better argument. Whereas the deism still has all that baggage. Even if there is no dogma, I still feel like there's a lot of baggage there. Larry, what do you think?
Well, even if you got real evidence all around you, you can still make a leap of logic that is not supported by the evidence.
Very true.
You know, people were raised all their life thinking that God created everything. Mm. Well, then point to everything and say, there's your evidence. God is real. So that's a leap that's not supported by the evidence. It's better just to say we don't know where things came from as far as the universe and everything. Until we find out, you shouldn't jump to any particular deity or any particular simulation. We just don't know. I mean, that's an honest answer.
Boudreaux.
No, real quick. I'm no expert in simulation theory at all. But I think I just want to point out that the biggest reason I would say that it is a possibility is, again, because of its likelihood, like how likely we are to create AI.
We already do, right?
And in some ways. Yeah. So the argument I've always heard for simulation theory comes from the likelihood that, you know, time and as technology increases, it's just likely that it can happen or has happened. It's harder to argue for it from a frame of reference of like you're saying that's a difficult way to make the argument.
From within it, there's no basis to make that claim. But from like an objective point of view, yes. But how do you get that objective point of view? That's the criteria. And once we got that, then yes, now I'm willing to entertain it as an option. Yeah. And is it more likely than a supernatural being? Yeah, because those are tangible things. Yeah. We can tie that to a server.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can make sense of that. But we don't have a basis to make that claim rationally if we are in a simulation. Right. That's why hearing it inside the simulation makes no sense to me. John Richards, what's up? Sorry.
Well, this is exactly what Douglas Adams was mocking in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe when he said the answer is 42. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But isn't that ASCII code for asterisk?
Yeah. It can be whatever you want to be.
Sure. Dredd, throwing in some more.
Yeah. So I was going to say, in just some of the readings I've been doing, a suggestion is also made that in answer to the Fermi paradox, which is where are they? If there's life throughout the universe, where are they? It could be, as like we see in our own technological advance, that we can build better and more sophisticated interior worlds that we can explore without having to leave the planet. Mm-hmm. Rather than try to develop the technology to span light years of space in order to visit other worlds, we can create them so that we actually put ourselves into a simulated universe. We are our own simulators. And that could be an answer to the Fermi paradox.
Yeah, it's also a great basis for a wonderful horror story, speaking of Halloween, for a video game horror game called Soma, which is all about people putting their minds in virtual spaces while there's still people around and people misabusing those systems in really, really terrible ways for the pursuit of science and longevity of the human race. It's really very terrifying. But We've got more hate mail to go through, guys, but we're not going to do it right now. In fact, we're going to go on a break, and then we'll come right back with more heated debates.
More hate after the break.
More hate after the break. Love it.
Right. Go ahead, Larry. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We'll be right back after this short break.
Multiply. Why must any of the children, why must they die? So we asked the Lord, and the Lord said, man means nothing, he means less to me. Cactus flower on the humblest yucca tree. He chases round the desert 'cause he thinks that's where I'll be. And that's why I love mankind. I recoil in horror from the foulness of thee. All from the squalor and the filth and the misery. How we laugh up here in heaven at the prayers you offer me. And that's why I love mankind. The Christian.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year now, and we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom meetings. And if you'd like to join us, email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. You can find us online at Facebook, meetup.com, or go to our website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
We're going through hate mail. Listen, we're going to go straight into it. This one is from someone who I'm going to keep anonymous. They spam my email account, and I'm totally fine with that because we're going to go over the comments on the show. I just want to bring more attention than what's due or cause any sort of like backlash, whatever. So feel free to keep sending me these emails, and we'll get straight to it. This one I'm going to address out to, let's see, who's going to be the lucky random user? John Richards. You're going to be first on this one. John Richards, listen. Our patron today wants to make a point. They want to make a point that there's a slight hypocrisy in atheism. And it goes like this. I'm here to point out the slight hypocrisy in atheism. And I'm not a theist per se, but I do believe in the truth with a capital T. And its inevitability to lead to evidence of itself wherever you look. Here's the problem. The truth is always harder to hide than it is to allow, right? You're just not allowing yourself to accept the truth. So this guy has looked up Native Americans, Assyrians, Indians, Greeks, Egyptians, and came to the conclusion that all of these, let me see if I get this point. If all these origins have a speck of truth, okay, here it is. There has to be a single truth that ties all of these systems together from all these desperately located cultures, not to mention the huge amount of power leaking from Freemasonry. And if you look at the world, Freemasons rule the world, and you'll notice that they're not atheists at all. So there has to be a connection there. Are you now convinced more of this guy's claims? I know that's a weird Freeman.
Cancel the show. He won.
Let me summarize it. Basically, everyone from Egyptians, Greeks, Sumerians, Native Americans, Assyrians, and Indians, while all say the same thing, according to this guy, and the probability of them being disconnected from each other in origin drops dramatically if they all have essentially a speck of truth between them all. How can all these different groups be referring to the same thing and all be wrong?
Well, John Richards. There's no reason for any of them to be right, but they can all be wrong. It's perfectly acceptable for people to be wrong en masse with all their various and different explanations.
But each of these groups refer to a heavenly beings or some sort of god, and that's his point. So okay, how can that not be the case?
Okay, well, this is because when primitive man had mysteries that they wanted to explain, they observed that all of the powerful events happen above them. You know, thunder, lightning, rain, the wind, the eruptions, they all come down from above. So it was natural for them to assume that there was some power up there in the heavens that was in control of everything. So, but that doesn't mean they're right. They're just variously wrong with their own details about that potential explanation. Stick to looking for evidence. That's my advice.
Okay, Dredd, I'm going to have you weigh in on this. Aren't all these guys saying the same thing? Anyway, Dredd, what are you saying?
Hopefully my dog isn't making too much of a racket here in the microphone.
It's all good.
Good. So again, I think we talked on the Global Atheist News Review last week. We mentioned hyperactive agency detection.
Okay.
That's detecting agency behind natural events, such as the rustle in the leaves. Is it the wind or is it a tiger? And you're better off to think it's a tiger, because if you're wrong, you die and you don't pass on your genes. Another thing that coincides with that is pareidolia, where you see faces or figures in inanimate objects, which then you place that hyperactive agency detection into. So you're seeing faces and agency in all kinds of natural things, which of course would lead to a tendency to ascribe them to be fairies or spirits or gods or whatever.
Dredd's right. It's an adaptation to imagine that there's some authority, some agent, because that's a good evolutionary survival tactic.
It's a good primitive way to understand things very quickly for the sake of survival. Yeah, absolutely. Larry, what do you got?
Yeah, I agree with all of that, by the way, but there's another common thread that runs through all this, which is what the guy is talking about, is the human ability or inclination to use this type of belief for their own personal good. In other words, a class system, of a priest class system. How many times, throughout history, has someone said, they're out there breaking the back in the field and they see a preacher go by on a horse, say, I feel the calling. I feel the call to go preach. And because it's basically an easy gig, it takes advantage of people's supernatural inclination. They get automatically higher, raised up in the ranks of society, it were. And for what? Right. For what? Because of people having this belief that there's something above us that we have to be responsible to.
And also instills a lot of other, in my opinion, paranoia and mental debilitations that it's really hard to kick off if you're raised in that kind of culture.
Yeah, Victor, would you want to weigh in on this?
We got, go ahead, Victor.
No, just that it didn't reference nothing else, that they just believe in something bigger. Would that prove, and that proves that they're must have to be something bigger. That's logical at all.
Which is, there's another natural tendency, isn't it? Because we all had parents, and most of us had a father, and therefore there was in our upbringing an authority figure who could
make sense.
Look after and save us from all the hazards and so on. And growing up is tough. We still want one of those.
Right. Eric.
You have clearly not met my mother. go ahead, Eric. Sorry. Yeah.
I like how he left off all of the religions that don't have a heaven. He didn't list any of those, right? Or all the religions that, started up and fizzled away and weren't passed on because they were never written down.
Right.
But I'm seeing a parallel in the argument. People like to make the argument too about pyramids, right? So like, how could there be these pyramid type structures, in Egypt and in Mexico,
made by all these brown people?
It's like, think about how that there must be some. It's like, it's just a really good way of stacking blocks so they don't fall down.
You can't do it the other way. If you could do it the other way, then I'd go for God or alien.
Right.
Pyramids like that. I'm all over
it. Pyramids like this. That's how you do it. There's no other way you could do that. Right. It's still the same shape, no matter what you do.
Mind you, if you could spin them fast enough.
I want to throw out two quick things. One, the talk about a great father kind of sounds like fatherhood theory to me, sort of like simulation theory. When you're around computers, simulation theory seems really appealing. When you're around fathers, fatherhood seems really appealing. And when we look at God, before computers, we're like, I came from a father, you came from a father, so there must be one great father above us all, right? Like, that's really appealing because we're just pulling for stuff around that we kind of understand that has a mystery behind it, like genetics or biology. And we're just applying that mystery to the greater understood explanations. And when we have a better understanding of the world, we just pull up another one. It's like, I don't know how computers work, but couldn't the universe be a simulation? And I can argue that with confidence. It's like, do you know how much electricity it would actually take to get billions and billions of people? Like, the Earth may not be able to support this level of fidelity, like this processing power. Like, we'd be in a carbon defunct planet to get that many people instead. Anyway.
But the humans are the battery, the electricity.
Yes.
Dyson spheres, that would take care of it.
Dyson spheres,
Oh my gosh. And you see how I try to pull us out and there's just arms pulling us back in. All right. John Richards, what's up?
Do you know what you said about you had a father and there was a father, he had a father and a father before him and so on and so forth. You know what that means?
The God had one.
The common ancestor. Is God.
Ooh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me also point out another thing too. I feel like cultures, like human beings, evolve as well. And like cultures, they spread. And so he's referring to Egypt, Greece, Assyrian, Indians. You know, all those are within walking distance of each other if you're willing to wait a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a pretty good explanation for why all those cultures had a somewhat similar belief that desperately verge from like a singular point. Not uncommon. That happens all the time.
They weren't. Okay. Yeah, they didn't arise in isolation of one another. That's for darn sure.
Sure is.
I mean, even the Silk Road. I mean, you know, there was lots of trade and travel between these different civilizations. You know, it's not like they were raised in that, you know, that cone of silence that on Get Smart, you know.
There's a reason why Native Americans have a lot of Asian features. It's not because they just like popped out of the ground, you know.
Well, that wasn't because Jesus visited them
or John Smith. No. It's kind of crazy. Guys, I got another email from this fellow. I'm going to send it out to our own Eric Green. Listen, here's the thing. Atheists ironically resort to their emotions as opposed to their rationality and can't see the actual good effects of well-meaning Christians. There is much of the time just spent on hate, aversion, or distaste. But if people would just sit in silence and clear their head of notions, they wouldn't have to call themselves atheists. They would just exist and say they don't know. And hardline atheists wouldn't have issues with the church or people being churched up, but even if they do, they'd still have no clue what Christianity is, even to the slightest degree. Why can't Christians just shut up?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, he or she made the mistake that I hear a lot of people make. Atheists don't know there's no God. they made a comment in there. Can't they just say they don't know? Yeah, most atheists are agnostic atheists.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a God.
Right.
I don't believe in one, but I don't know. So anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. They don't seem to get that right. If I understood this correctly, their argument is Christians are good, therefore there's a God.
You can't see the actual good effects of well-meaning Christians, and you instead atheists spend their time on hate, aversion, or distaste. But if people would just sit in silence and clear their head of notions, they wouldn't have to call themselves atheists.
Yeah, I don't see the hate. Actually, a lot of times when I meet someone and after a while they know that I'm an atheist, they usually say, "And you're actually really nice for an atheist." I've heard that more than once.
That's I'll reinforce that one is you could easily flip that around instead of just talking about well-meaning Christians. Christianity has nothing to do with well-meaning. Right? You could be a well-meaning person you could be a well-meaning Hindu, a well-meaning Sikh, a well-meaning Muslim, a well-meaning Christian, a well-meaning atheist. It doesn't matter. If you're well-meaning, it's independent of whatever
your religion
that you adhere to.
Good point. And at that point, it doesn't matter whether you're an atheist lambasting them or not. It's just like, hey, well-meaning people are good. We want more of those. Doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. And ideally, they don't have a monopoly on well-meaning. Larry, got to get to you. I saw you.
Yeah, and I'm taking, not an offense, but exception to his saying, you wouldn't have to call yourself an atheist. What the heck's wrong with calling yourself an atheist?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an honest appellation that describes our condition. We don't believe in God. That's the definition of the word. Enough. It may be a problem for you. It's not for us.
Yeah.
But you might want to look at your own yourself and see why it's a problem.
Don Richards, throwing it up. Great point, Larry.
What he's doing is revealing his misconception about what atheists are and what atheism is.
Yes.
He's taking us down the route of aggressive atheist, you know, militant atheist. We aren't. There's no reason for us to be like that because we don't have any doctrine to impose on everyone and try and control them. That's what religions do. We don't do that. We have no need to do that. What we're trying to do is promote critical thinking so that people can see their way out of the depths of despair that they've been buried in. During their upbringing.
Yeah. When you're born in a cave, it's really hard to get out of the cave unless you know how to climb. We're teaching people how to climb. Victor, got a question for you. Why can't you just shut up?
Not you particularly.
Why do atheists have to speak up? Why can't they just be quiet? Sit, like literally he says, if people just sit in silence and clear their head of notions, they wouldn't have to call themselves atheists. Why can't you just be quiet about the stuff that you don't really understand to the slightest degree, which is Christianity?
Why can't Christianity just shut up?
Yes.
Touché.
Ty, before you ask before you ask Victor to shut up, you ought to know that he's taller than 6'10".
Wow, big guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of spreading, Vikings were very good at that. Anyway, just hey, Dread Pirate Higgs, what's up?
Well, I was going to say, just with respect to that last comment, when I left Masonry, I was a Freemason. And the one of the fellas I dealt with quite regularly, when I told him I could no longer do it because I had become an atheist to the Christian God, he said, "Oh, so you're one of those people that hate God."
Ooh.
And that's where that person, I think, makes the mistake of thinking that atheists are not people who don't have evidence to support a God, but actually hate a God they think exists.
No, yeah, because it's easier to strawman that point to make sure you understand why it's a bad thing to be an atheist than to understand what it actually means and recognize that you have questions now that you have to ask yourself. It is the hardest thing. Listen, the most fundamental conversation you can have with any person who's a Christian who knows you're an atheist is to make sure they understand what the definition of atheism actually is. Because I know it because I had a friend who's an atheist. That's like me saying, well, I had a third grade teacher who was a Christian. I know all the forms of Christianity. I don't have to hear it from you. Listen to the person that you're talking to. Use the definitions that they're working with, because typically they're coming from a point of view of experience and they can inform you of what they mean. And if they're saying, no, when you say atheists hate God, let me explain to you that I'm an atheist and I don't hate God. Well, you're not an atheist then. It's like, I am. Let me explain to you what this word means, please.
Yes. Get your nomenclature right.
Yes, then we can have a filling argument with words, because we have to use words to communicate.
I always like to ask them where they got that information.
Yeah, their pastor.
You know, who told you that?
The pastor, and then
you might want to take another look at that person or that channel or that podcast. Source.
Yeah,
because they've had their heads filled with this concept, the stereotype, by their leaders who wish to control them. They've got an agenda. And if you go down that route of denigrating non-members of your tribe, it leads to dehumanization, to victimization, and eventually to murder. Right. Don't do it.
Yep.
Oh, man. Eric.
Yeah, just quick point here, because I'm sure you want to move on. The other one I hear often too is that atheists worship the devil. And that's bizarre too. It's like, well, no, I don't believe in a God. I certainly don't believe in the devil.
Yeah.
It's just a bizarre, and maybe some Christians or other religious folks just can't fathom a godless world. So they have to assume
that everybody believes, they just hate them.
And I'm also going to say this too, like, again, the Bible feels like it was written by a megalomaniac doing their own autobiography, with a really nice person in the background being like, if you believe everything in this book, you're also as dumb and as evil as this tyrant. But I'm going to, for example, teach nudists that nutrition is important and they should have access to knowledge. I'm going to point out that this guy drowned everybody on the world for no good reason and drowned babies. I'm going to go and talk to his son that he brought to that he was planned to like hang on a cross for someone else's sins and be like, hey, do you want to worship me? And when that son says no, I'm going to leave, because I'm not going to force people to worship me. I will accept no as an answer. And I'll even show up face to face and be like, hey, do you want to worship me or not? Okay, totally fine. See you later. And that will be no repercussions whatsoever afterwards. I'm going, like, every story of Satan in the Bible, from Job all the way down to like Genesis, is just, here's a guy that I don't understand why he's the evil one, when the tyrant is in the same chapter doing substantially more evil stuff every single time.
Well, it says in the Bible that God created evil. I mean, so Isaiah says that.
Right. He developed the crying screams of women and children being murdered. Like, he made the blood spurts of serial murderers' activities. Like, he made everything, right? So the bad stuff counts too. Farts, like, people keep throwing out waterfalls and stuff like that. Like, this extra nipple that I have that I don't need. Like, yeah, I got two of them. I didn't even need one. Think about, like, all this
cancer. You know, name
other cancer, misshaped harps at birth, mistreatments. Like, well, those are, well, no, he made everything, right? So that counts. Yeah. We got to think about that. And when we look at Satan, he's like, actually, in my head, the far without saying it, if we're just willing to look at, like, you know, inferences, like, he's the far more moral character in that book compared to God the Tyrant. It's just so much more straightforward.
You know, and, you know, like the Marvel Universe, he's an anti-hero.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not even like, what's the most evil thing he did? He thought he was pretty, and God was like, well, he's not prettier than me. Like, what is it's the worst thing he ever did. I don't understand it. Anyway.
Well, a lot of people say that the worst thing he did was he killed Job's family and took away his crops and all that. But it was God who said he could.
Yes.
Not only that, but it was God who made the wager that he could and allowed that to happen. Yeah. And,
it was all on a bet.
And when it was all said and done, God didn't bring them back to life. He just gave God some new wives and some new cattle. And it's just like, yo, that solves the problem. And it's like, for a guy who's in the afterlife, you got to think about that. It's just like, okay, I'll see these guys later, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, John Richards, what's up?
There's one problem with this idea that God created everything and has
one
that
problem?
Capability. Well, the one I'm going to itemize right now, which is that he can't create money. He's got to scrounge that from his congregations.
Yeah. Right.
I can make everything except for money, which is why I need you. Yeah. I need your help.
No, it's one of my favorite memes these days is when you need money, your preacher tells you to go to God. But when he needs money, he goes to you.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if prayer worked, why wouldn't he just pray for money?
Right. Sure. Yeah. Of course. No, it's absolutely true.
Yeah, how long the church would stay open at that.
Guys, we got 4 minutes before we go, and I want to talk about Freemasonry. So who else the Dread Pirate to handle this one? This is the last section of the mail that we got from the same author. He's basically saying this: I wish more people leaning atheists would see that it's not Christians at all that's the problem, but the rulers of the churches, who each have their one foot in Freemasonry, leading the Templars to destroy, which is funny because atheists like to use the Crusades as a point of leverage, yet it's still just evil manipulating people who want to love their neighbors. Now look at the world. Do you see? You can see that Freemasons do rule the world. Look at the most powerful people who rule the world, and you'll notice that not a single one of them is atheist. I'm going to add this. Yeah. Checkmate. That's all.
Well, there you go. But as they say, correlation doesn't equal causation. Just because a bunch of people are dressing up in funny garb and marching around a windowless room, performing ancient rites, as they call them.
Oh man, I had no idea that was.
It doesn't affect. Well, it doesn't affect anything. Mm. Like, there's no effect. It doesn't affect the world in any way.
No.
And really, it's a bunch of old white guys getting together to grist each other, essentially, just to give advantage to each other.
So is Xi Jinping, is he a Freemason? He said all the leaders of the world were Freemasons. Right.
I'm sure Putin isn't.
Yeah, Putin.
He says, look at the most powerful people who rule the world. So maybe Elon Musk, maybe you got some like rich people. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, Masonry really is on a decline. It's harder to capture younger minds into that sort of ancient. I mean, it's going back to Solomon, you know, and the building of Solomon's temple. Like, who really cares about that stuff anymore? It's just, it's antiquated. It's just banal, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had just locally, we've had two Freemasons halls closed down due to lack of membership.
Wow.
So it's like Christianity. It's like anything. Oh, wanted to point out too, just quickly, that 53.1% of British Columbians are irreligious. They do not identify with any religion. Hey. We are now the majority. Well, Pastafarians are included in that because they don't consider us religious. So.
Right.
Sure. Is that funny?
Bastards.
As long as you don't now claim total ownership of righteousness, which is what these correspondents seem to have done. Yeah. They should look at their own. Look in the mirror, guys. You know.
Yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah, room for one more question, maybe, or go on to the wrap up.
I think we should get ready for wrapping up. But John Richards, I think you had a point. Did you want to make one more comment?
Just made it. What these religious people have done is stolen righteousness, stolen morality that we have evolved. They've claimed ownership of something that isn't theirs to own.
Right. I like the hate mail. I don't mind it. Keep it coming. The thing is, you know, whether it's an argumentation for God or not, the thing is, it's an extraordinary claim, and that requires extraordinary evidence. I don't think there's ever going to be a single email that'll make me believe in a supernatural God, regardless of the length or the grammatical clarity or the reasonable argumentation that's provided. I need a higher standard of evidence. A photograph of you sitting on Jupiter is not going to make me believe that you went to Jupiter, even if there's great lighting and HDR quality. You need a higher standard of evidence. We're not going to get it through emails, but keep sending them to us. We don't mind. We don't mind. It doesn't mean we're closed-minded. It just means you're not meeting my standard of criteria for me to believe something like that.
I'm not really here.
He's not really there. That tugboat isn't just cycling back and forth, Tenet style. Victor, anything that you recommend that we check out?
Yeah, the Alpha Course.
Yes.
That the churches are doing. It's free. You can see the clips online. I'm doing one now, and it's hilarious.
Really? That's awesome.
Yep.
Where can we get to it? What can you plug the link or?
Just search Alpha Course.
Yeah. Is Alpha Training?
No, I think it's called Alpha Course. Yeah. I can send you later. It's awesome.
Food's good. The food's good, though, I hear.
Yeah. It is.
And free.
Hey. Yep.
Hey.
That's the way to a man's soul, isn't it? Through his belly?
I'm going to throw this one up to Boudreaux. Anything that you recommend that we check out?
Well, I can't share it on the radio show here, but I'm going to pop in our group chat just for Dread Pirate. Many years ago for Halloween, we built a pirate ship and went. We took a car, cut off the top, put a sail on it, dressed up as pirates, and drove to a bar and had a
cool. I'd love to see that.
So I shot it in the messenger, but
there you go.
Hi. And guys, thank you so much. We're out of time on the show. We'll go straight to Larry. Feel free to check out Mind Pirate on YouTube. Check out Global Atheist News Review. It's going to be up here later out, and we'll send a feed out to John Richard's channel. You can find me on Let's Chat on YouTube. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Okay, sure. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com, when you go there, be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject of atheism. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter5. And I, of course, have a book on Amazon, called Atheism. What's it all about? If you'd like to know more about it, I recommend either getting the book or going to my website, because a lot of the articles in the books are on the website. You can find this show on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.